It's really great, really good to be here. I think, we're hungry, aren't we? Yeah, for more of God on this journey that we're on at the moment. And it's great to have Mike and Sue with us, as always.
Oh, it's good to be here.
And Mike's asked that we just have this kind of informal setting. And we're just gonna see where we go. Hi, Pat. So shall we just pray? Father, we just thank you for bringing us here tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you are interested in us, and that you want to fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we just want to open our hearts to you. Thank you that we can trust you so completely, Lord. If we ask you for a fish, you're not going to give us a serpent, Lord. That you're going to give us good things, Lord. And we just pray, tonight we just say, Lord, have your way. Would you just come and calm our minds, calm our souls, Lord. Give us ears to hear, hearts to respond. In Jesus' name.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Well, it's great to see such a number of you this evening. Hopefully, those of you who are behind me, it's not too distracting, or I'll try and make eye contact as best as I can. But,
you feel free to sit over there if you want to see Mike's face.
No, they're probably better where they are from that point of view, but I just, it's just more from communication point of view. Tonight is a kind of a workshop, fairly informal. I'm just got they leaving already. Okay. just so that Nick's just asked me to go through very, very simple sort of steps where we can all perhaps learn how to steward the manifest presence of God by the Holy Spirit, both as a congregation, collectively. And also individually, how we can become more familiar with the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Now, I'm quite a sort of a simple person. It's going to be quite demystified. None of you are going to be asked to do anything weird or strange. I can't guarantee what the Holy Spirit will do. I can't even guarantee he'll wait till I've finished. Because when Peter went to Cornelius' house, he was still speaking. And the Holy Spirit fell on them, and lots of them started, prophesying and speaking in tongues, which is, he didn't even get to the end of his notes. On other occasions, Paul, when he was visiting people in Acts 19, he taught them through. They said, "Oh, we haven't heard about this before," and then he laid hands on them and prayed for them. So the Holy Spirit, I can guarantee you, he will be doing some things tonight. I just don't know when or what. So I would be, don't think, oh, we'll just get through the talk bit and then some things might happen. Things might happen now, and I don't know what. And that's always a good thing about me. I love meetings like this because you never quite know what's going to happen, but it's all good. All right. And you need to just feel relaxed. There's no one's going to be put under any pressure. I don't like being put under pressure, and the Holy Spirit never puts anybody under pressure. He only ever comes to bring freedom, courage, confidence, encouragement, so there's nothing but good on offer tonight. So just to sort of start by way of saying, a friend of mine recently reminded me from the scriptures, and I thought it's a good point he made, that even after the disciples had been with Jesus like 3 years, and he'd been teaching them repeatedly, every day they'd watched how he lived and they'd listened to him, they'd watched him heal people, they'd listened to the parables, they had private one-to-one sessions with him about all sorts of things. Even after that, you'd think, wow, they've got to be, surely they're fully equipped by now. But even they still needed a Pentecost, didn't they? With all that teaching, with all that information, with all that, eyewitness of what he'd done, they still needed a personal Pentecost for them to be equipped. And the same is true for us. We can perhaps know a lot about the Bible. We can come to church. We can know a lot of information. Numbers of us have been Christians here a long while. And if it was just about information, then I think we would probably naturally sort of cope with that a bit, wouldn't we? Think, well, I'll just do a few exams or I'll attend a few more, seminars or whatever, and then I'll be equipped. Well, it just doesn't work like that, does it? It really is a case of we each need a private, well, I say private, individual Pentecost experience, and I believe whole congregations need that kind of Pentecost experience. And so tonight is really just to try and help us into that experience of the Holy Spirit. There's lots of images used of being filled with the Spirit. Nick used some this morning with the water and what have you, and that can be helpful to see how, you know, we need to hopefully give the Holy Spirit space, I think was the point you were making, wasn't it? Just to take things out so he's got space to work in us. But another image that we can use is that of the sails on a yacht. Because sometimes if we think of a glass of water, and you think, well, I'm either full or I'm not full, then we can think of it a bit static. And I'm not sure that's always helpful. Whereas if you think of the sails on a yacht, when the wind blows, you can say the sails are filled, can't you? But they have to remain filled for the yacht to keep going. And I think the emphasis that Nick was making this morning is that we have to go on really having the wind of the Holy Spirit blowing in the sails of the church. Otherwise, we become becalmed. And personally, there's no point of having a testimony of 12 years ago. You know, I had a funny feeling, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but nothing's happened since. But I know I was filled then, so I've still got my glass of water full. Well, that just doesn't work, does it? It's much more of an ongoing dynamic. And even those who were at the first day of Pentecost, a few chapters later, they prayed, and it said the building shook and they were all filled again. And they spoke boldly and prayed boldly. So whatever experiences you've got of the Holy Spirit tonight, I think it's true that all of us, you know, we need more, don't we? Mm-hmm. You know, I say that myself. I'm thirsty to meet with him afresh and for him to sort of blow in the sails of my yacht, as it were. And the other reason why I think this is so important is for personal edification, for personal upbuilding. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, whatever term we want to use, not only does he give us individual gifts of the Spirit, so whether that's tongues or prophecy or gifts of healings or words of wisdom, words of knowledge, all sorts of other gifts, not only does he equip us, but also we read in Romans and also in Galatians that the Holy Spirit, one of his main works is to witness to our spirit that we are children of our Father. So one of the most important things we experience in being filled with the Spirit is a sense of nearness to God, family intimacy. He witnesses to us. There's something in our emotions that will be stirred. And whilst we don't want to encourage emotionalism just for the sake of it, I do think it's important to encourage healthy, godly emotions. Because if the Holy Spirit is witnessing to our spirits something of God's fatherhood to us, something of his care, his love, if that doesn't move us, then quite honestly, I don't know, you need to check for a pulse. Because because it's natural and normal to feel emotion when we feel delight or something, you know, encourages us. And that's normal for a human being, isn't it? So we mustn't be afraid of emotions. They're actually healthy if they're stewarded in a good way, and we're not trying to just whip something up, which we're certainly not. I think that actually the more we have to rely on the Holy Spirit, so anything that happens really is the Holy Spirit, that actually adds to the authentication of what's happening. Because it is possible to sort of manipulate a group of people to get them to do all sorts of things. I don't want to be a million miles from that. But nevertheless, there is something of, no, he will come. And I think some of you tonight will sense his presence. You may even start feeling his presence, even, you know, as I start talking, you may feel the Holy Spirit resting on you and beginning to cause emotions and all sorts. That's nothing to be afraid of. That's That's a good thing. That's the Holy Spirit doing something to your spirit, which your cognitive mind may not have caught up with yet. Because it's something happening within your inner being that your intellect perhaps hasn't even clicked. You know, so it's important we all have that personal experience, but also as a church. In 1 Corinthians 14:26, it says, "What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? Right, when you come together, each one of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation." A tongue or an interpretation, everything must be done so that the church may be built up. So there's something about us being a priesthood of all believers. The days are gone where you have just one person who's specially anointed, who's the steward or the channel of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. That's gone with the Old Testament. It doesn't exist anymore. There's no one more anointed than anyone else. We are all priests. If you know Jesus, you are a priest right inside the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. We go in the way that only Moses and then Aaron went in. We're right through that. It's where the curtain temple was torn from top to bottom, that partition. When Jesus died, it was just torn. So we're all right in there. You cannot be any nearer to God than you are now as a Christian. There aren't stages. So it's ever so important. We always say, wow, I have access. I've got the same access to the nearness and the presence of God that any other Christian has. However, I might admire them or think, oh, I wish I was as good a Christian as them. Please banish that sort of thinking from your... Because there's no league tables. We're all in there. and so the Holy Spirit, increasingly, I know the elders here want to see the church here functioning in that way as a priesthood of all believers, that we begin to bring gifts and contributions in the various settings we gather in, because that's actually what collective biblical worship should look like. It shouldn't all come from the front. Even worship is there to serve the body so that we begin to bring contributions. And what we'll find is as we do that, you might just prophesy or bring a word of some kind, and you might think, well, I'm not sure, I think this is right. And then it's good always to say things like, well, I feel the Lord might be saying, or something like that. So rather than thus saith the Lord, you know, just so you can bring it tentatively. But I tell you, if it's of God, someone in that meeting will be powerfully affected by your simple obedience, even if it's slightly nervous. And then when someone perhaps comes up to you after the meeting and says, oh, that word you brought, that really helped me. Well, what does that do for you? You think, wow, God could use me to actually bring some help to someone else. Then we're starting to go somewhere there, aren't we? Think, well, if he can do that through me, well, then he can begin to do that through all of us. So there's something really important tonight. It's almost a church defining issue. This is about recognizing God wants to use all of us and bring us into that blowing of the wind in the sails of our yacht, as it were. Now, there's no set way to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you may have had experiences of the Holy Spirit before. There's no set way. So I'm not particularly going to refer to experiences I've had, because I don't want to set up something. Oh, well, if that happened to you, perhaps I need to, you know, it's very, very, he's very, very individual with each one of us, because we're all different. And he knows that. The Lord knows exactly how to get your attention better than anybody, doesn't he? So he's completely aware of that. So what I'm going to do is just take you through some very, very simple steps. I'm going to assume that no one has ever received a filling of the Holy Spirit before. I'm just going to assume that. I know that's not true, but I'm just going to start as if I was talking to a group of new believers. And I think it's important to say that when we come to know the Lord, of course the Holy Spirit is living in us. Of course he is. It's not a question of when we're baptized in the Spirit, something that's been absent arrives. That's not true, because no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. So we've all received the Spirit when we come to know him. But if we just go back to the image of the yacht, it's a bit more like when we become Christians, the Holy Spirit actually blows in our lives, in the sails of our yacht, and Jesus said, we are born again. Now, the first evidence we know that that's happened is that actually we have faith in Christ and we receive him. So something's gone on in us that we weren't actually aware of in order to open our eyes and we hear the gospel and we receive it, right? We can't bring ourselves to life. He's already doing that in us, and you can't quite tell when was I born again. It's very difficult. You can know perhaps when you responded in a meeting or when you prayed a prayer. But if I said, well, when's the exact second that you were born again? Well, that's why Jesus said, well, the Holy Spirit's like the wind. You can hear where he's coming from and you can see where he's been, but so it is with the Holy Spirit. You can't tell exactly, you know, it's like trying to nail the wind, you know. Mm. So there's an activity of God that the fact you are even here tonight and you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior, that was an activity of the Holy Spirit, not of your willpower. Right, you cooperated, because you have to repent and receive, but there's this cooperation that starts with him. So there's a blowing in the sails of your yacht when you come to know the Lord, if you want to look at it that way. And when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, all we're talking is for this sort of a fresh blowing of the wind in the sails of your yacht that are already being blown into when you came to know the Lord. It's just perhaps a slightly stronger felt force to equip you for service, to assure you of his nearness as a father, and to enable us to witness for him. You know, you'll be my witnesses when the Spirit comes upon you. So witnessing for him, intimacy with him, service for him. That's what this sort of blowing into the sails of your yacht. That's what this is about tonight, okay? So it's not a second class, you're not a second class Christian if you've not had an experience of that before. Not at all. We're just saying, okay, Lord, we all want more, don't we? So, Lord, just have your way with us. So, few sort of little steps I try and take everybody through when I sort of talk to them about this sort of thing. So, first one is, so what do we have to, what are the conditions for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight? Well, the first one is we have to have faith. And in Acts 2, this is at the point where I know, this is a fairly new Bible, all the pages stick together, so it'll probably take me longer than anything else tonight to find the verses I'm after, but I will persevere. In Acts 2 and 38, here we go, and I didn't bring my glasses either. So this is on the day of Pentecost. Peter replied, this is after he'd preached, and they say, well, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. I would say, okay, so you've got faith there, you've got repentance, you've got baptism in water. And he says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is really important, this next bit. It's really important. The promise, right, it's a promise. Peter's saying Jesus has made a promise. The promise is for you, that's to those who were hearing him for the first time, there and then, to your children, so they're the generation after them, for all who are far off. So in other words, all that would come to, you know the Lord perhaps through their ministry or in different nations. And then this bit. For all whom the Lord our God will call. So the first question tonight is, who here is not part of all? Trick question, I know. Hopefully no hands go up. So we're all included in a promise. Just let that sink in, right? God has made a promise that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when you come to know him. There's a promise. So you can go, I don't know, it's like you've got a check and it says, I promise to pay the bearer. Remember checks? They don't exist now. But you could go into a bank with a signed check and it says, I promise to pay the bearer. It's a promise. So the Bank of England or whatever has promised. So you don't go into the bank thinking, oh, I don't know if this is going to work, do you? Well, hopefully not. Checks bounce. But you know what I mean? The actual mechanism is certain, isn't it? You think, well, that's how money changes hands. God has made a promise. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing this is if tonight we don't expect anything to happen, it won't. Because it's not reliant on how well I present the information. It's reliant on the fact Jesus has made a promise that those who receive him will receive the Holy Spirit. So we can actually go to him and say, Lord, you've promised. And this is probably the most important thing, the most important foundation. Because if we pray sort of thinking, well, I'll just wait and see if something happens. Is anything going to happen? Am I good enough? You know, well, I did kick the cat this morning. Yeah. Not sure. Well, perhaps maybe I'll really try hard. You know, that's not how you access a promise, is it? That's trying to earn something. A promise is, I didn't deserve it. He's just promised to give it to me. Can you see the difference in the mentality? So tonight, you can feel very unspiritual tonight, but a bit thirsty. And if you come on the basis of there's a promise, you could, I mean, if he isn't going to keep this promise, well, how do you know any of the other ones are going to happen? How do you know you're saved? Well, because he's made a promise, hasn't he? To as many as received him. Gave he the right to be called the children of God. There's another promise. Loads of promises, aren't there, that we hold on to. So this is a really one to get hold of. It's a promise for all whom the Lord our God will call. Second, the same verse, it says, repent and be baptized. And then in Acts 19, I just want to... So that word repent there, he brings to those who are hearing the gospel for the first time. And they turn to Christ, and there's about 3,000 of them. They just hear the gospel for the first time, and they repent. They say, "Oh, and repent really means to change direction." I think the Greek word is metanoia, which is where we get the word metamorphosis, like a frog, you know, a tadpole changes into a frog. It metanoia. It changes. There's a change. So I think repentance is not so much just saying sorry for things, he's actually saying, I was walking in this direction, now I'm going this direction. Which is what we do when we receive Christ. We say, well, I was walking without Christ, now I've turned, I've accepted him, I'm walking with Christ, I'm following him. But what's interesting, in Acts 19, we find that some believers here, there's a demonstration of power in the preaching, and... Paul, there's a sort of a demonic thing takes place, and there's some extraordinary miracles that Paul does. So even some of the aprons and cloths he's wearing, he's kind of, I don't know whether he's flinging them into the congregation or whatever, but they're landing on people and people are getting healed. It's the only time it's recorded as happening. It's a bit, you know, strange out there. But it was happening, and there's all sorts of stuff kicking off. And it says there, because of this power that's going, the power, can you imagine that? If Nick sort of took his coat off, flung it over there, it landed on someone, boof, they sort of fall off their chair with the power of God. I tell you, that coat would go for a lot on eBay, wouldn't it, after that? But there's nothing special about the coat. It's just that God's doing extraordinary, that means above normal, things. That's what extraordinary miracles are. That's why I say anything could happen tonight, I don't know. You might all be flinging your coats around and people getting healed. Who knows? But in that atmosphere, look at what happens. It says, when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Now look at this bit in verse 18. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they'd done. So what we've got here is people who were believers... They were genuine believers, but the Lord had somehow challenged their hearts about things that they were just keeping a little bit secret. Now, these scrolls and things that they'd had, because they were into the occult, they'd probably got them tucked under the bed somewhere. Why? Because there's a bit of value to them. They were a bit valuable. So they were holding on, a bit of an investment there. You know, Jesus doesn't mind. We're not using them anymore, but, you know, we just tucked them under the bed. Power of God comes and they're thinking, I've got to get rid of this stuff. I've got to get rid of this stuff. And they bring them. It says, they now came and openly confessed and just, it says they burnt them all, you know. So the next step is, in repentance is what I would say is, if tonight the Lord, not me, but if the Lord drops something into your heart that you're holding on to, that actually you think, I've got to let that go. It's not doing me any good. And you don't have to go searching for it. You don't have to go digging around. Well, there must be something wrong. No. Please don't do that. Probably, if there is anything, the moment I've said this, it will be straight in your head now. And you've been thinking, well, I've been carrying this thing around for years, and I've got to just let it go. Yeah, many of those who believed now came. So you can be a Christian and still hang on to things, can't you? We all have got some experience of that, haven't we? You know, you don't get totally sanctified in the first week, do you? Sometimes God has to just pinpoint things. I can remember when I became a Christian, a little while after I became a Christian, I loved my music collection in the days of LPs. Well, they're coming back now, aren't they? Vinyl. But it was a bit of an idol to me. And I can remember ever so clearly God speaking to me and saying, it has to go. And I remember taking it down to the rubbish tip. All my LPs, they were worth so much money. And they were my pride and joy. I collected all this stuff. And I couldn't throw them in the skip because that felt too violent. I had to just put them over the edge and let them slide into the rubbish. Because I thought, I just need to make sure they're safe. You know, they're just, you know. Oh, it was so painful. It was so painful. But it's like Jesus saying, you can only have one Lord, you know. This stuff has got a grip on your soul because it's entangling you. And I had to just let them all go. Now, the funny thing is now I could listen to the same music now and it doesn't have a hold on me. I quite enjoy the music if I happen to listen to it. But then it had there was something, it's not that the music itself was evil, it wasn't. But it had become, a thing. And it's like that, sometimes that happens in our lives, doesn't it? So if we want more of the Holy Spirit, that illustration you used this morning, there may just be a few rocks that you say, well, I've just got to pull that out. But please don't go digging around, you know, because that doesn't help anybody. In actual fact, some people need to repent of repenting. Just think about it, because actually you can make yourself feel so unworthy, and it's almost like a safety mechanism, because it stops God getting near to you. So we do all sorts of tricks to keep God away from intimacy, so we try to pretend we're not worthy. So even that can be, anyway, it's complicated. So we've got to repent. In other words, is there anything God has asked you to stop doing that you've not yet stopped? Well, tonight would be a good night just to finally put it in the skip, even if you have to go slowly, you know, just to get rid of it. Next is obedience. So in Acts 5, are you still with me? It's Acts 11, this one anyway. I think there's another reference to it. But which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? This is important to remember when we come to pray together. Right, if you're coming to the Lord, it's safe, right? He's not going to let you receive anything harmful, okay? Or think you've got a gift and then it's a counterfeit, right? It's not going to happen, right? Because if you ask for a fish, he's not going to give you a snake. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. In other words, we wouldn't treat our children like that, those of us who've got children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Right? So there is an asking that has to take place. We have to, and tonight, I'm not going to sort of force anything on anyone, but I am going to give you the opportunity to ask yourself, you know, to say, Holy Spirit, I want you to come and fill me. And we can trust him. I remember when I I will just give you some practical example. When I first spoke in tongues, I mean, I came from a background that didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I had no understanding of any of this whatsoever. And God happened to just baptize me in the Spirit. I didn't even know what had happened to me. I got no idea what had happened to me. And I didn't speak in any tongues or anything. I didn't have no gifts, because I didn't know there were any gifts. But I just felt the nearness of the Lord. And a Pentecostal friend of mine then gave me a little book to read. And it mentioned there about gifts of the Spirit. And so I'd had a little bit of an experience, but I didn't really know what was going on. But I remember getting this book, and it talked about speaking in tongues as one of the gifts you can sort of begin to use. You know, I believe the gifts are all situational, so they're open to all of us according to the situation. And I think if we want to speak in tongues as a Christian, we can. There's nothing to stop us. And so I remember saying, Lord, well, I've got no idea how this works, but I'm asking you that now, as I open my mouth, I'm going to talk in a language that I've not learned. And I'm trusting you that if I've asked you for fish, you're not going to give me a snake. Right? So I had to ask him, I had to trust him, and then I just took a step, and I just began speaking, and it sounded like I was making it up, because in some ways I was already, because I was having to use my vocal cords. I think I've spoke to some people who really found it difficult to start speaking in tongues, and they said, well, if the Lord wants to give me that gift, he will give it to me. I think, well, he's not going to take your tongue over and you're not going to suddenly think, can't stop. He's not going to overtake you and you've suddenly got a gift that you... How do I control this? It's out of control. That's not how it works. We speak as the Spirit enables us. So there's a partnership that has to go on. And I took these faltering steps, and it did sound a bit strange. But I thought, no, you've made a promise. Go back to the promise. There's a promise you've made. I've turned away from everything I know that might hinder that. I'm asking you, I'm saying, well, I'm asking you and I'm trusting you that the next thing I say is going to be the genuine article. So it's very practical. And I just carried on doing that most days in private until I just built up a little bit more confidence, to be honest. And I thought, no, this has got to be genuine, because I'm trusting him. I'm trusting him. I've got no evidence today any more than I did have that day. And yet, I've been doing it for 40 years, so if it's a counterfeit, I've been really, really up the creek there, haven't I? But I don't believe it is. I believe it's a simple asking and then stepping out. Then the next thing is just to touch on obedience. So we can ask the Lord for things, but in Acts 5:32, let's go back to Acts a minute. It says, there we go. Do hope I've got the right verse this time. Have I? Good. One step ahead on me. Here we go. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So, we talked about repenting, and that is like saying to God, I'm going to get rid of anything that shouldn't be in my life. But obedience is about almost asking the question, is there anything the Lord has asked me to do that I'm not doing? So it's like it's not getting rid of something. It's like, is there something he's asked you to do? And you're thinking, I should do that. I want to do that. I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing, it might be something that requires a bit of faith or requires a bit of I've got to step out of my comfort zone or whatever. So he wants us to fully cooperate with him. And that's also necessary for the Holy Spirit to have free access as we ask him to fill us. Because if we're kind of holding things a bit close, he can't do very much, right? It requires us to be very, very compliant. Okay, a couple more things, then we'll move on to some practical stuff. So then, John 7:37, we need to be thirsty, because Jesus mentions there, one of the conditions for receiving the Holy Spirit. Where are we? Yeah, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, so he wants everyone to hear this, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So he's speaking pre-Pentecost. He's talking about Pentecost onwards. So, simple application tonight is, are you thirsty for the Holy Spirit? Are you thirsty for what God has got for you? Because if we're not thirsty, he's very gentle. God won't force himself on us. He wants us to be, just a little bit of salt on our lips, so we say, "Yeah, I want more of you, Lord. Whatever you've got going, I'll have some. I'm thirsty." And then lastly, in Acts 10:46, this is about, I can never remember what the verses are till I find them. Here we go, Acts 10:36. Did I really? Yes, just testing. It is 46. Yes, let's start at 45 for context. "The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles." That's probably most of us. There may be some Jewish background believers here tonight, but most of us would be Gentiles. "For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God." So there was a receiving. One of the helps that I've found in helping people just to begin to speak in tongues or even to prophesy for the first time, getting very practical, often just comes down to just getting a little bit of confidence. And there was an illustration I've heard Terry Virgo use many times, and I'd quite... no apologies, I just pinched it completely because this is such a good illustration. And I've found it's always been helpful in settings like this. And the illustration of Elijah and the widow with the little cruse of oil. She's just got, one little jug of oil left. And so Elijah says, "Go and get all the buckets and pots and ask your neighbours and get as many as you can." And so then, he's prayed, obviously, and there's this moment where there's this step of faith, and what happens is, as she's got this little jug thing, and as she pours over the lip, it's then that the miracle starts. And what I often say to people is, things like just starting to speak in tongues for the first time. We can get a bit het up about it and think, how does that happen? How does it feel? And some people, it's quite dramatic. Other people, it's just, very much like just switching from English to another language you've never been taught. But as you pour over the lip the little that you have, it's then that the miracle starts. And as in the story there, all of the receptacles were filled, weren't they? And so there is an element of a step of faith, where we're saying, "Well, Lord, I'm just trusting you. I'm trusting you that this little step will help me." Now, I always begin with the gift of tongues because it's probably the most easy one to sort of focus on. As I say, everyone can speak in tongues if they want to. If you don't want to, it's not a sin not to. But Paul says, "I would like it if every one of you spoke in tongues." Now, he's not going to say that if in his head he's thinking, "I'd like it if you all spoke in tongues, but unfortunately not all of you can." I mean, that would be an awful thing to say, wouldn't it? He wouldn't encourage a thirst for something that he then in the next breath said, well, yeah, unfortunately, there's only a few of you going to get that. But I wish you could all have that, but sorry. That isn't what he's saying. He said, no, I would love you all to speak in tongues. Why? Because if you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. Now, that means you spiritually build yourself up. There's something hidden but real that happens to your spiritual well-being when we speak in tongues on our own in private, or if everyone's doing it, as it were, and it's just like an individual thing. It's something that goes on. And Paul says it's really good for you to do it. It does you a lot of good. It's not compulsory. You don't have to do it, but it really will build you up. But he then says, but I would like it even more if all of you prophesied. Now, that isn't a more difficult gift. He's just saying, if you can move on to that as well, well, great. Prophesying is simply God giving you some kind of insight. It's either a forth-telling, so you're sort of telling about God's goodness, God's power. There's something God's drawing your attention to something about him that's going to build everyone up. Or it can be foretelling. It can be God speaking into someone's life. It might be based on a scripture or some scriptural principle, or it might be some sort of picture or image. You know, there can be all sorts of things. And so tonight, my goal is to try and help us get comfortable with both of those things and to begin to just take steps, particularly in speaking in tongues and just learning just to put our feet in the water and see what the Lord will do. But alongside that, it's really important that when we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, which we'll do in a minute, that we also allow him to bring a sense of the nearness of God to us so that we feel his fatherhood. Because I'd rather us all go out of here tonight feeling closer to God than even having received any gifts, all right? The gifts are the overflow of a work in the heart. So we've got to start with that. And even more, well, perhaps as much, that we're then equipped to witness and to evangelize, not by human effort, but by God actually giving us power so that we share the gospel with people, we pray for people, we find a supernatural power coming to us that we think, wow, that's just not like me to do that, to see that lady or that guy at the bus stop and say, do you know, God's just put you on my heart. Is it all right? Is there anything I could pray for? I mean, many of us would be a bit timid to do that. But when the Holy Spirit fills us, that sort of thing can just happen. You think, whoa, where did that come from? Well, that's the equipping of the Holy Spirit. So there's all sorts of things. So before we get into the practical thing, are there any questions? Because I've given you a lot of information there. Anything you want to ask or clarify or add? Exactly. I mean, I know exactly what you're articulating is what many people feel, a sort of a question of worthiness. Well, the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit was given when we became worthy, we wouldn't need him. The point is the Holy Spirit is given because we can't live the Christian life without him. Yeah. His work is to make us more godly. So we need all the help I can get, to be perfectly frank. So I'm thinking I'll have as much Holy Spirit as you know, so I don't have to reach it's actually the other way around. It's more that he comes and helps us. He's our helper. That's another word for him, isn't it? The helper. He's the one who comes alongside, and when we're perhaps finding the Christian life a bit hard, he helps us. So this tonight is, if you're feeling, man, I need some help with my Christian life, well, this is what he comes to do. He doesn't judge us. He says, no, come on, I'll help you. And speaking in tongues does feel a bit funny, because it's speaking a language you've never learned, and you think, well, it doesn't even sound like a language. Some people it does, some people it doesn't. So that's a good question, just to try and make that, yeah. Anything else? I mean, just really practical stuff. It'd be really... Yeah, good. Well, I'm sure you'll get more.
Someone prayed for that a few weeks ago for me.
Yeah.
I'm not embarrassed with that person. I kind of got more of a bad, but I want more tonight.
Yeah.
I want more.
Great. You're thirsty. You qualify.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Anything else? Anything you want to add in, Nick or Bob or anything? No? Yeah. I've got to make sure that everything I say they're happy with. So, are you ready to give it all a go? See what the Holy Spirit does? I think Barbara's going to help us with... with the keyboard. So what I'm going to suggest is if we all just could stand, if that... I mean, you don't have to stand. Perhaps we'll start off standing. And then if you feel you want to... move around or sit down or find a bit of space, then that's fine. Whatever you want to do practically, I mean, it might be good if some of us just get a little bit further in the middle so that there's... let me think how to do this. I tell you what, just get rid of the chairs completely. Can we just push them back? Because they can be a bit... to the wall, just to... Please come... Just find a little bit of space. I'll come into the middle as well. So just find a little bit of space where you've got a bit of where you're far enough away from someone that you're not self-conscious about their nearness. All right. So if you've got friends with you, say you've not offended me, but I just need my own space at the moment. All right. So just find your own space where you feel comfortable. So let's just review some of those things. So firstly, in your mind, let's just think to yourself, ask yourself, do I believe that God has made a promise to me, that I'm part of all? So in other words, a promise, you don't have to qualify for anything, it's already been made, it's a promise, okay? So ask yourself. Is there anything that the Lord has spoken to you about? Even tonight while we were just looking at the scriptures, where you think, I know there's something in my life, I just know I've got to just deal with this particular thing. And if that's the case, just while we're, just focusing, just us and the Lord, if you just with our eyes closed, so we're not particularly aware of anyone else, if there's something you think, no, I really do want to give this particular thing to the Lord, and just lift your hands or open your hands where you are and just surrender that to him. You don't need it, right? It's not helping you. It's just a weight you're carrying. Right, so just all of us, just, if we can, just keep our eyes closed and just feel able to just give that to the Lord if there's something you know he's just spoken to you about. And just in a few minutes, just of quiet, I'd like you just to pray and give it to him. Surrender it to him right now. Some of you may just feel a weight as he takes something off you. It might have been a burden, a worry, an anxiety. It doesn't have to be, a sin, as it were. Something, it may be something that has just been holding you back. So just let him just take that off you. As he says, let my yoke be upon you, because it's easy and light. And you'll find rest for your soul. Yeah. So we just surrender to you, Lord, all our anxieties, all our cares. All the things that are not true about us, that we sometimes, the lies we believe, we give them to you, Lord. They're not who we are. I feel that actually, that there may be numbers of us that are just believing lies about ourselves. Let's break the power of lies of the enemy, telling us we're not worthy, telling us we're not loved. Break the power of that in Jesus' name. Perhaps words that have been spoken over you by other people. False Christian teaching that's cluttered up your thinking for many years. I break the power of that in Jesus' name. break the power of that. This is a new day of freedom in the Holy Spirit coming. It's coming in this church, a new day of Holy Spirit activity. So we clear the decks of anything that will hinder what God wants to do. We clear it away. We clear it away. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Break the power of condemning thoughts, condemning words. Thank you, Lord. Anyone, Lord, who's just plagued with thoughts when they wake up in the morning about their, they wish they were different, wish they weren't who they are, disliking themselves. Even that we bring to the cross. We bring that to the cross, self-loathing. Free us, Holy Spirit, from these things. We don't need them. We don't need them. They're not right. Thank you, Lord. So we come to you thirsty tonight, Lord, believing your promise. Thirsty. You've promised out of our innermost being will flow rivers. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, come and blow in our sails. Come and fill us right now. I want each of us just to lift your voice where you are and ask him to come and fill you. Make it personal.